Welcome to the Lakeland Sports Guys Podcast. Tom Carroll, Chris Cox. We've got the coach, Dan Spivey, and sitting in with a special guest from American Legion Post 20, none other than the man himself, Ty Vines. Ty, how are you?
Doing well.
Good.
Good to be here.
Good to have you. Chris, you're doing awesome. You guys basketballed out yet?
Nah, we're good. We still dribbling around, man. We still dribbling. A lot of dribbling to go this week. So.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about. We got three brackets to run through. The NIT is out, and it's a little bit different this year. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've got men's bracket and the ladies' bracket to go through as well. And we've got, three teams in each of those brackets for South Carolina, Clemson, and also Coastal Carolina in the men's. And then you add South Carolina and Presbyterian for the women to go along with that. So big time. And they may end up being, playing first round in the process of all that, provided that, Presbyterian can get by that first round.
Yeah, I don't think Carolina wins by 90 now.
But either way, they're going to be playing at Colonial Life.
So. How many dogs?
How cool a deal is that, though, that PC's in here? That's a cool deal.
That's a big deal.
Did you see the coach when they did the selection thing last? I know you did. For PC, she said, what an honor. She said, but look what they're going to give us. Should we sneak by the playing game? We get to go to Carolina, who beat us by 90 points the first time we played them.
But they will be playing without Cordoza. So now the question comes up is, how many dunks is Ashley Watkins going to get?
Probably
get
me
under on that.
Dunks for the – you know what? That lady can go. So, I mean, I wouldn't be stunned with Cordoza out. She probably does get at least two. I would say at least two against a smaller PC team.
And we'll follow along, talk about it here in just a few seconds, what's happening with all of that. But first and foremost, I want to say congratulations to the Lander men's wrestling team. Gosh, what an honor. Again, they take second place at the National Division II level. And to go along with that, they get another, they're second in a row. They're second national champion in David Huntsberger. Well, what a match he ended up having. We almost had two. I mean, we came really close to having two this time around. But, 165-pound weight class, David Huntsberger does another fantastic job out there. His second consecutive national runner-up finish for the NCAA tournament as well from men's wrestling from Lander. And couldn't ask for a better honor, I guess, overall. But they sent nine guys out there to Kansas in the process of all that. So, wrestling, very, very big. And, Chris, what does this do for recruiting for them?
Oh, it's huge. But even more, though, Tom, like we've talked about before, what does it do for Lakeland's high school wrestling? Look at what we saw this year, Stan. Yeah. We saw how many Lakeland's teams sent players to state or wrestlers to state?
We had five from the Lakeland's.
Yeah, and that's just like the Lakeland's is what we're calling, Due West, Dixie, and Greenwood, and Emerald teams right here. I mean, that's incredible. Because you got to think, some of these teams that are in the Lakelands don't have wrestling. Mm-hmm. McCormick doesn't wrestle, I don't think. Calvin Pauls doesn't wrestle, I don't think. So to have that many go from the Lakelands is crazy, but I still think it comes down from what Lander does that they're doing now with their wrestling team. And I certainly hope Lander coaches and everything else will get out with the coaches around here in the Lakelands and, give them some advice and let some of the wrestlers show them what to do.
Well, it's good for the high school wrestling that Lander goes and for the second year finish runner-up. But now can you imagine the younger wrestlers that are in the Lakelands there, they don't have to go anywhere to go to a quality camp.
They can't,
where they've got quality that knows what it's like to take it to the next level. I mean, they want to go far in high school, but if they want to wrestle after, Lander might be where I want to go. These guys are winning.
You better be good.
You better be good. That's right. And so how do I get better? I'm going to the camp where the coach is taking nine players to the national championship.
And you're always thinking,
I'm going to learn more from him than I am going down here somewhere to where they might have sent one or none. Mm-hmm. Nah.
You're always thinking, as a wrestler, you're thinking, I'm going to be the next David Huntsberger because I know he's moving on. So that's whose spot I want to take. I want that way. I might have been a weight class, but I mean.
Well, now you got to compete, though, against some of the other wrestlers that may be coming down from some of the bigger states like Illinois, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, that area.
Yeah.
But it's good that you can recruit a wrestling hotbed, say like an Iowa. You could recruit that state and say, hey, come on down here to little old Lander down here in South Carolina. We know how to wrestle down here.
The weather's better, too.
Yeah,
exactly.
A whole lot better.
That's what he's always talking about, Coastal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he's – and, matter of fact, the coach, isn't he from Iowa?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what – and, I mean, that's huge out there. I mean, good gracious. So, I mean, the leadership that Lander has, man, and like I said, if they just put forth the effort like Ty and those guys do with the high schools around here and they put it toward the high schools here, you're the one that's going to reap from it, I can promise you.
Yeah.
You're the ones reaping from it.
Yeah.
Well, 5 years Lander Wrestling has been in existence. Since then, the program has won 3 conference championships, 2 super regional titles, has 2 national championships to go along with it, and has finished at the national runner-up twice.
What more can you ask?
For real? That's
seriously. I mean,
that's called building a program. An elite program at that.
Greenwood.
In 5 years.
Yeah.
Greenwood. At Greenwood, South Carolina. Wow.
But, Ty, what you don't realize is the other sports is over there now.
Yeah.
I had no idea they had everything like they got.
No.
Oh, women's lacrosse. Women's lacrosse. Yeah. Women's rugby. Women's wrestling. Well, women's
lacrosse.
Wrestling, yeah. I mean, lacrosse.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have wrestling yet, but that's yet to come. So.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that you got lacrosse, rugby. The only thing we don't have is I got to get my man again about that. But it just befuddles me that we don't have football and Erskine does. But anyway.
But we can't forget about Lander basketball.
Yeah.
They're in the tournament.
Omar.
They've won first round, second round. They're moving on.
Man, let's go ahead and talk about that, because first round they ended up taking on Lincoln Memorial, which is Coach Omar's – that's where he came from. That's where we got him from. Yeah. He was an assistant coach that was out there. And, boy, dog, if they didn't pull out an 85-76 win, and they, I mean – that's huge when you got to take on your former team, knowing that they had been national champions and runner-up for, what, the last 10 years? They've been at least in the top 5.
He recruited a lot of his kids. That's why he was kind of like every time there's an interview, he's like, oh, well, we gotta get, why can't we get away from to another team? But not congrats, because like I said, you don't win your tournament, you usually don't go very far. And, I mean, that's – like I said, I'll never forget that interview at the radio station that we had with him. I tell you, I was looking for eligibility to play for this guy. I mean, this is just the guy you want to play basketball for. So.
Well, the thing is Lander, with that win, they were waiting to find out later if they would take on USC Aiken or possibly the 7th seed in Emmanuel. Emmanuel ended up beating the 2nd seed USC Aiken, so that game ended up taking place on, what was
Sunday?
It? Sunday.
Yesterday, yeah.
To go along with it, and how sweet it is now to reach the Sweet 16, an 86-78 win over Emmanuel, Georgia.
Wow. Keep rolling it, man. It's like I said, it's a fun time of year. And
that was
see,
in overtime, by the way.
You're seeing teams.
Calling what it is.
I think they scored 14-1 in overtime.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That.
Yeah. I mean, that's just phenomenal to come out that way and to have the legs to do it.
Yeah.
It's big time in that regard. But Tuesday night, we'll find out, you know, they got to take on Evansville.
Oh, man. We like I said, we're there now. It's just play your game, Coach. Yep. Evan. Play your game.
Take care of business.
Do what you do.
Yep.
No turnovers, steals. You know what you got to do, but rebound the ball. That's their thing.
Yep.
Rebound that ball.
Well, they never missed a 3-point shot attempt. and they blocked another shot attempt that you know, would have given the other team the win, but they ended up with that block to go into overtime with it. But, you know, it's you get a chance to take the lead with 21 seconds to go, and you know, it's one of those where he even mentioned it in the interview. I wish I could play the interview, but we couldn't get it to hook up. But he mentioned the fact, he says, well, that was my fault. That's why we ended up with the tie. Is he basically came out and said afterwards, he said, lucky for me, the players went ahead and decided to disregard what I was saying. Overtime. So big news there. So and again, Legeste had another huge game overall. I think he ended up with, 22 points?
Well, he had to be one of the guys hitting him threes. So.
Well, he started with 2 threes to begin with in the overtime period. I do know that.
Well, like I said, when you're 100% from three, you're not losing many games. Because, I mean, and those aren't high percentage. I like high percentage shots. But, I mean, when you're – what did they shoot? How many was it from the three?
From three-point land, they were 48% to 47 for
Emmanuel. So right at 50. Yeah. Okay.
to go along with that. But, you know, and turnovers were a big factor. Lander had 15. Emmanuel had 14 in this regard. And, you know, block shots and steals as well were right there. They're pretty even all the way across the board when you look at the statistics.
That you can't do against Evansville, I can tell you that now. So if you're going to correct it, that's what you corrected. And you corrected it in that game.
75% in the second half, 3-point.
Yeah.
That's strong, man. Yeah. Somebody tell Meachie that, but, of course, we can't. He's over five before he stops shooting. So.
Well, he's got to miss six or seven before he gets hot, right?
He does, too. So, anyway, that's another game bracket.
That's another bracket. Yep.
Yeah, but the men keep rolling, and we'll keep a watch on it as they move on to the Sweet 16, hopefully the Elite Eight by the end of next week.
Hope they can keep shooting that, like that,
exactly.
And rebounding and take care of the ball, play quality defense, and let's get another win. I'd like to see another run to the Elite Eight, and let's get to the Elite Eight and take it one more step, Coach, and let's get to the Final Four.
That's right. This is what I talked about when he was hired. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things I would think you asked him, Tom. He said, what's your goals here? He said, I'm used to being Elite Eights, whatever we got to do to get there. And he said, I can see this team going. I've already had my first talk with my boys. I like the players. I like their attitudes. And now, granted, that's, what, 5 years later, but like I said, he knows how to get there, and that's key for that. That's key.
Well, he's got all his guys in now.
Yeah.
This is you know, this is everybody that he has recruited.
It's his team,
and they understand the system and what needs to be done. So that's, you know, and it's just going to build from here.
Yep.
I mean, what is it going to mean to the town of Greenwood if Lander ends up going to the Final Four?
That's big.
It's going to be huge.
Well, you know, we were talking about it this morning. Nothing in the newspaper, I don't think, or if it was, it's just one little clip on the game. There was nothing on the Sunday game. So, you know, where does the publicity come from?
You know, Lakeland Sports Guide.
Channel 4, Channel 7, none of those people are coming. This is a team that's in the playoffs, people. They've won two rounds. Mm-hmm. Why isn't somebody down here covering them on the sports sports wires?
Yeah.
And along with that, you've got Bob Jones up there in Greenville that made what the league's called, the NCCA or something like that. They're moving on. I mean, they're like into the second round or third round. But unless you dig, unless you know somebody that's got a kid that's playing for these teams, you're not saying anything about it. Let's get the, you know, y'all folks out there need to call up Channel 4 and 7 and 12 and some of these others and say, hey, we got a little thing going on down here in Greenwood y'all might ought to pay attention to.
That's his rant for today. MD, so I'm
yeah,
that'll
be my rant for that one.
I'm not starting
today. I got another rant we'll get started on, but I'll save that.
I'll let him have them because I've had enough this year. So.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll follow along and watching Lander and where they're going to end up and what's going to be happening with those guys. It's to me, they win and get into the Elite Eight. You're going to see a lot more people going, leaving town from weekends to go see these guys play.
I hope so. I mean, that's what we need. I mean, we need to support this team.
We need to talk to Coach and see if we can't get some of those Final Four tickets when he goes. See if he can't get us down there on press row.
Probably can. It
would be nice if it does happen that way. But we'll follow along and see what happens. All right. Ty, my friend, you have been a busy man. Are you getting ready for what's getting ready to happen over there at Height Stadium? And
oh, yeah. Getting crazy. Crazy. Well, we'll call it Knave's
Day.
John Knavefield at Legion Stadium.
There we go. The other way around.
It is the other way around.
Yeah. Legionfield.
Stadium.
Yeah.
We'll get it right here.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. Going out, getting sponsorships, and just talking to kids. You know, Coach Slack is out there doing his thing, and going to some ball games, checking out the local talent, and you know, ordering uniforms.
He can legally talk to them.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's not like a college coach that can't talk to him. This guy can go talk to him.
Yeah. You know, having those relationships with the high school coaches, that's, you know, to tell them to, hey, tell these kids to come out here and play, you know. And I think y'all probably saw the post the other week. Legion works. You saw about 14 kids right now. Or I think it may have been 18 counting the softball that are in college right now that play Legion baseball, playing at the next level. A couple of them maybe, you know, on JV squad, but still that counts. Mm-hmm. They're playing in college, so it does work. And we're looking forward to, you know, seeing how this thing will go this year.
Yeah, well, we've been whispering in a couple ears as well.
Yeah, well, good.
Over the course of a couple of weeks.
And if anybody would, you know, interested in coaching the juniors, I am looking for a junior coach. You know, we only have one junior team this year, just consolidating the kids. I think that's to our advantage this year to do that. So
I was hoping you were going to say you already had one, but anyway. No, they, like I said, it's I mean, it starts with you. You know, I'm not tooting your horn, but it starts with you, and it goes to Orion Slack. Here's the thing. I've known him for a while. Who would want to play for him? I'm telling you right now. If there's a kid in the Lakelands that wouldn't play for Orion Slack, you don't want to play ball. You just need to go and move on and do something else like I did. I didn't play Legion.
I didn't either.
I decided to be a lifeguard about a week first week. and that's an option that these kids have now that you can do. But
well, and in regards to that too, I mean, particularly if you're a pitcher,
exactly.
Why would you not want to get as much knowledge from that young man as you can?
And that's what I'm saying. I'm gonna put him on the spot. I wouldn't be stunned if you don't knock that JV coach out at a park like you did that one. I'm not putting any pressure on you, Ty.
No pressure whatsoever.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be stunned if you don't just boom, knock it out of the park and be able to work in conjunction with the other team as well. I think that probably was a wise move.
Yeah. Well, we want it to funnel to the you know, good talent here, too. You know, we want talent at the JV level, too, not just the senior team. We want talent. It is a – people call it a progress – what do you call it – progressive type developmental type league, but you know, I'm sort of competitive, and I want it happening at the young age too, not just out there for summer reps. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to win too. You know, we want to develop kids. Don't get me wrong, but you know, that funnels into our senior program.
Well, you want to develop in the right way,
yeah.
And that, as opposed to some
and no offense
teams.
To what's going on in the last 3 or 4 years when we had. You know, several junior teams.
Yeah.
But that's the difference. One of the, and I'll say it out loud, Newberry athletic director, Newberry Chapin Newberry athletic director, asked me, he said, I got two or three teams. I said, yeah, Rob, but you look at it this way. My three teams that I have are only 8 or 9 miles apart as far as, you know, for 96. Emerald and Greenwood House right next door to each other. You go over there to Chapin Newberry, you got Chapin Newberry. When you got Clinton, that's 20 miles up the road. And you got Newberry.
Mid-Carolina in the middle
of
that.
And then Mid-Carolina on down the road. So you can do that in your, you know, and still have be very, you know, you won't have to worry about kids. Because, you know, that is vacation time. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot to work around. And we can carry 22 kids now. So.
And see, that's something that a lot of people don't realize, mm-hmm. that you can't carry that high
yeah.
a group of kids.
Now, if we were to advance into the regionals, then we have to cut that down to 18.
Well, I mean.
But you know, that's as far as the senior team. But as far as the JV, as far as you go as a state championship, mm-hmm. you know, but you can carry 22 kids, so, you know, which helps with the vacations and everything, you know.
So with the experience that they're getting from day one of
yeah.
playing with these other guys, yeah.
yeah.
So, I mean, that's huge.
Well, and it's a community against other communities.
Yeah.
You know, it
makes it fun. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a big believer that if you're developing them right, you're winning. I mean, it translates into wins.
It takes care of itself.
Yeah.
It takes care of itself.
It works that way. All right. Well, you can go ahead and you can register online as well. That's the neat thing about it. Go to the American Legion Post 20 Facebook page, and that's where I've been able to pick it up the easiest way because my guy is –
yeah. yeah. Yeah, you can just tap on it. But it's SELB.com, and just go to player registration. There you are.
Got
piece of cake.
And if you're a coach, you think you're good enough, that man will hire you if you're good enough.
Are we having a softball team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't forget about them.
We've already got a coach lined up for them.
T will be back coaching.
He'll be back. Okay.
And
what experience.
I don't think he's going to be ever.
Yeah. But we've got a lot of talent. We've got a lot of young ladies that are talented. And I know one that's already signed to play collegiate ball a senior year.
Do you have one down at 96 just signed, Janaya Square? She's going to Limestone as a three-sport athlete.
Wow.
Three-sport athlete. I think it's – I know it's basketball, softball, and I want to say volleyball, but I don't know if that's right. But she's
It would sound right.
You know, she's already signed, and I don't know if she's signed. Maybe it's just commitment. I want to say she's just a sophomore. So, and she's good. She's really good. She's
Well, we know she's good in basketball. Good night.
Yeah. Oh wow!
You make the state off state team. Good night.
She can hit it too. You know, but T'll be back. B Montgomery's helping him. Sammy Robinson's helping him, and Malik Goodman down in 96. He's helping also.
Wow. So,
we got some talent. Not to say talented, but yeah, I guess that's how you put it. But very good coaches and
knowledge.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and the girls.
That's awesome. There, no.
Yeah.
So, any word of there's a softball field being built over there?
That's Tom asking. That's not me. That's Tom getting on you this time about
I can't complain because Greenwood and Emerald both have excellent softball fields.
They do.
Wherever you have it's going to be fun.
It's good there. 96, good too. Yeah. You know, I can go over there a good bit. I was just in my backyard now, living 96. So
yeah, T's done a good job with Boozer.
Yeah, well, that one, but I'm saying
– Oh, you're talking about
high
school. High school.
They did a great job over there, though, that direct department. Yeah.
They stay busy. They stay busy.
Yeah. So. They had a great – I'll keep talking about Greenwood.
That's fine.
Gall had opening day this past weekend, and then the crowd that was over – now, I was in Aiken most of the day, but came back and umpired the last two games, and that place is just – it's crazy over there. Tons of teams. I want to say it probably, I don't know, total maybe.
No, what's fun is to go on their website and look at the names of the teams.
Oh, yeah,
and he puts the stat. I mean, they keep stats. of 12 maybe. And unders. What they're able to do over there is just unreal.
Yes, it's awesome over there too, and it's good to see the community supporting that over there too. Yeah, so say they're big time. Adam Wire's got it going on. He's the president of
I mean, they improved the other field, correct?
Well, they did that, yeah. And then they have the old First Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
They're using that now.
Oh, yeah, and they redid it.
Yeah. And they got a little temporary fence up out there.
And redid the whole infield.
Yeah.
All new dirt and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a nice looking field right now.
Greenwood absolutely growing big time. Big time. They're growing. I'm proud of them. I coached it a few years ago, so, the last 12-0 team, by the way.
Here we go.
Hey, we were stacked. We were stacked. I'm saying, I had the Landon Steels. I had the Cam Addis. He was he plays golf at Greenwood High now. Tyrod Hoover, 1996. He was on the team.
Have a who's who.
I think there might have been some recruiting going on. You kind of get that feeling.
There's a draft.
I was going to say that's how.
There's a draft. But I had two good coaches too.
Happened that their sons happened to be pretty good ball players.
Yeah, I just sat in the dugout. Jim Steele helped me, Drew Mundy. Yeah, Drew Mundy. He was the other guy that helped me coach that team. But we were pretty good.
And a lot of those players went on to play at the high school level, and they played Legion level.
Yeah. Jaden Adams, another one.
And have had very successful careers. And a number of them have signed to go on to play at the collegiate level. So it can happen in Greenwood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I think every time I see Gardner Webb play, that's who you're going to see. It's going to be Garrett Hodges.
Oh, Garrett Hodges, yeah.
which is awesome.
Clean inning against Carolina just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, Alan knows a pro. But. So now you're in Aiken at Citizen Park where you were, or where were you?
No, I was at the high school. My son was playing down
okay.
there.
Okay.
So, yeah. He's on the JV squad at Greenwood High. So.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, actually, a little shout out to him. He had to go ahead and run for the win the other night. Go ahead, RBI.
Yeah.
No pressure on him anyway.
No. Yeah.
He's ice.
Yeah.
He's ice.
Yeah. He's a nut. He is.
He's the one that hollered, "Daddy, shut up."
I try to stay quiet. Now, I have been known to be that one, but I've learned a little bit.
It's a student section. You need to rowdy down a little.
I'll tell you what, though. That's what makes it. I mean, that's the one reason I like going to the college games better than I do the pro games. And I remember back in the day when at Carolina, we had the third baseline hecklers.
Yeah, I mean,
and they would pick one player. I mean, and you're talking about the student body getting there. I mean, these kids hadn't even got off the bus yet, and the people are fighting for their seats along that baseline.
You're talking about Sarge Fry.
I mean, you were right on top of them. And, you know, you get some college kids, and they pick one player, and they stayed on him. It didn't matter. They stayed on him. Now, some of the stuff that was said, you probably shouldn't be saying, but
it's
collegiate baseball. Well, no, it's not as it's not. I love the new ballpark. I really do.
I like Sarge,
but it's not Sarge. And the students still come out and all, but it's you don't have that we had that Sarge in the day.
I don't know that. I mean, that with the track right there and everything, I mean, that was the bomb place for me. I loved it. And then you just let the other stadium just go down. The old Carolina minor league team, that stadium just
– Bombers.
They've torn it down or they just –
It's just grown up.
Like Green Jacket Stadium in Augusta, the old field down there.
Fun times.
Yep.
Looking forward to it. But what are the qualifications in case we want to see if Stan wants to coach?
Oh.
I don't know. My coaching days are well behind me.
Qualifications?
Except for my grandson. I may get on his butt a little bit, but his daddy's taking care of him.
Be able to stand in third base box at one of them, probably. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. More than once.
Know the rules.
Know the rules.
And a little bit of knowledge.
That helps.
As far as the time,
keep your glove
age,
on the ground, keep your mouth shut.
You know, as far as age is, you know, if you finish playing Legion ball last year, you can coach it this year. So,
got to have.
And that's what I do prefer. I do prefer a post 20 alum. I do, you know, or somebody that's heart's there. I guess you'd say. You know, you don't have to be an alum, but know that it's important. Post 20 to Greenwood.
Right.
Yeah.
To Greenwood. That's
and that goes back to what year is this consecutive now?
This will be 83.
Wow.
83.
We need to start and we need to paint something out there on the outfield. And every year we're going to go up. This year's 83. Next year we're going to put 84 consecutive years in operation.
I went to a funeral today. For a guy that played on the 59, 60, 61 teams. And I think it was I can't remember what year they won state. I want to say 60, but I'm not for sure on that. But he was part of that team. So
sounds right.
Pat Wood, I don't know. He was the PE coach and coach at Emerald Junior High when I was there. So
you and I had been school at the same time.
I'm a 1990.
I'm 87, so yeah. But, I mean, I graduated Greenwood, of course.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, we're 3 years apart. I knew when you were talking over there, and I was like, I didn't.
My older brother was 87. So.
There you go.
Sure is.
No, it was also good to see Mr. Gioli in here. We found out a little bit more about what Drew is doing. And
Don't forget McCutcheon. He's back practicing long snapping.
So we may see another Gioli in the process of all that, too.
That was one thing that – they could have used last year at Greenwood was a long snapper. I mean, and you were right. There was some concerns on the line over there. So, hopefully they shore it up and get it done.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes from there. But looking forward to it. If you're interested in being the head coach of the JV team, they need to get a hold of you, Ty. So easy way.
864-407-8876. 864-407-8876, or you can email me at tyvine61@yahoo.com.
There you go.
But I mean, I look at my email a good bit, but of course, everybody has their phone, so
that's true.
Yeah,
Looking forward to it. It should be a fun season. It's going to be, and it's just around the corner. It's amazing how fast it's coming.
Yeah, it is.
With all that, but
my wife like, we got to do this. We got to do this. But, you know, well, over the concessions.
Have we
know.
Made any more improvements to the stadium?
That's what I just
before we walk in and say, oh, this is new.
No, well, we painted the facial board recently. You know, that got done, and the facial board's done. I'll probably be cleaning the concession stand up a little bit right now. So, you know, but a little bit at a time.
A little bit because at a time, yeah. That's, you still got a little bit of time.
Well, as far as the stadium itself, I have spent my granted money with the facial board and the painting. Yeah. So I've spent that because we had to do a little bit more on the old coach's office, which is the old ticket booth. Mm-hmm. If you remember the Braves coming there, we had to replace the roof on that. So that took a good bit of the money away. So, but, you know, we got some promotional stuff coming up pretty soon. Some T-shirts and stuff like that. So that we're granted that money too. So as far as advertising,
but make plans for it this summer. It really is a lot of fun to take your family too. And it's seven innings. It starts at usually 7 o'clock, and you're usually out of there by nine on most occasions. Usually with a Braves victory in the process.
So. Yeah, with OG hitting at the end. But I will say, if there may be some doubleheaders as far as the juniors and the seniors this year. So, we may be there a little bit later this year, but not.
But that's good because you've got good food at the concession stand, and I know I've eaten it. I know Tom Carroll's eating it.
That's my pay for the day.
There you go. But it is. I mean, good quality food, and then it's in a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we do. We feel like we got a little bit of everything. I got to get a popcorn machine in there. Which I'm working on.
Yeah, but they got ice cream. They had snow cones were there.
Nacho.
Yeah.
And if you get the foul ball, you can go.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Get you a free something or other. Yep. We don't know what it might be this year, but
it's usually a drink or snow cone.
Snow cone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the kids love those.
That's what I say. That's the ones chasing normally.
So. Yeah. I can't say anything. My son used to do it too. So.
I think we've all done it.
Before I took over, just take him out there. He'd pay for his own concession, just chasing down foul balls. So.
And of course, you always have the 50-50 drawings. Yeah. And last year we had to throw into the bucket at second?
Or was that's been a couple of years. Yeah.
So I know y'all will be coming up with some other kind of something like that. That's And that's pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I want to see the bat spin and
run. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you I'll do that Thursday if he leaves the cooler right
That's
there.
What you could do. You could race OG in the bat spin.
Yeah.
That would be a fun
thing. Because everybody, that's one thing. Everybody says, everybody knows you. I said, no, everybody knows OG. I'm a nobody. I'm just always near him.
Yeah, so. That's right.
We're looking forward to it. I mean, I know you're getting hyped up, getting it ready for it. And I know you put your heart and soul into it.
I do.
And we appreciate what you do, man. And, you're keeping it going. And like I said, it takes a role model to keep it going. How many years?
83.
I'm just trying to see if you remember.
Yeah.
This is 83.
So.
And that, that's history. That's the history of Greenwood. It's not just American League, that's Greenwood, and the athletes that have come through Greenwood for the last 83 years, that and the coaches and the volunteers that have given of their time to make sure, if nothing else in this town, American Legion baseball is going to be played.
Well, the Legionnaires make sure that. Not just the Legionnaires. Yes, you're right. But when it comes to Ty, we got to get this letter out, they're on it. And of course, they're a little bit older than me, but
and you've got a lot of people, a lot of the men that my uncle, Uncle Jack's going on 90 something now, and he'll still go out there and pull his chair up and watch, and he played years ago, but he's still gonna come out there and support that American Legion baseball.
Just get the word out. That's what I ask. Get the word out and build the field of stands. You know, that's we're here for Greenwood.
Yeah.
That's well, the veterans, the kids, Greenwood.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, so.
And it is a family atmosphere. And yeah. Cheapest ticket in town.
It is.
I mean, you can't take the kids to the movies. I mean, you got a big family. You need to be going to the ballpark on when they're playing. It's a whole lot cheaper on you.
And a lot more fun, in my opinion. And
a lot of fun.
The thing is, the season is so short. It's month long. You're looking at, what, 3-4 games a week in between traveling and then the home games to go along with that. And then you get, 2-3 weeks in July for the playoffs.
Yeah. I'd have to look at the calendar exactly, but on up to seems like the playoffs is like starting a week after the 4th or the week. Yeah, I'm going to say the week after the 4th or the following week after that. Yeah, it's quick. It goes by fast.
It flies by for some reason or another. But it is a lot of fun. Yeah, but we want everybody to come on out. Fireworks on 4th of July would be a lot of fun, but that's usually the dead week.
Yeah, it usually is, yeah. Which, you know, I would like to play during the week of the 4th. You know, I think it would be great fun. Myself. It but, you know, the biggest challenge I have is the week after that. You know, what's going on uptown.
Yeah.
Oh, with barbecue. That's true. You got to compete against the festival of Discovery.
last year we played on that day, and then two years ago, we had to play on Thursday night, the night of the barbecue festival. And I said, you know, after the ball game, I'll come uptown, have a little time, good time. I didn't get out of there at 4:00 the next morning.
Oh, goodness.
We had what else? The rain came.
Rain came.
That pushed the game back. We were supposed to play two. Pushed the game back. We get done with the first game around quarter after 11:30, something like that. And we go up and shake the opponent's hand, and we thought, he ain't gonna. They're coming all the way from Anderson. They ain't gonna want to play this next game, you know. He said, 20 minutes, coach. Shook his hand. He's like, oh, God. So we're throwing the first pitch about midnight, or no, it's after midnight. We're throwing the first pitch. And we go into extras on that second game.
Wow.
And it's 3:30 in the morning before we finish up. The ball game's over at 3:30. But something the kids will take home forever. And, you know, that's the year we also went to the state.
I was going
to
say
that. You know, so it meant something. It meant something.
Good times. All right.
OG fell asleep that game.
I bet he did. Probably in the dugout snoring.
The concession stand must have run out of food.
Yeah, they closed up. They closed up. Yeah. Not around too long.
I got
a picture of OG that night somewhere on my phone. He's on the fence line.
Yeah, assistant coaches better watch out. You fall asleep anywhere, somebody's liable to take a picture.
Beware.
All right, we're at Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. We invite you to come on by anytime during the week. They got specials that are going on throughout. Check out their Facebook page. It's been up now for about, 3 weeks? It'll run down all not only what the specials are each week, but also what the soups of the day are. And they got the lobster bisque today. I forgot about that. Which is really good. So if Clyde doesn't take it home, I may be taking one or two home on the end. But check that out. And then they got some great entertainment. We've had local folklore all this past weekend, and it continues on this week.
It's been solid, man. That's one thing you'll get here in downtown. That music scene is just smoking right now. And then once his favorite time of year gets here with barbecue festival, it'll be even better. But just great times. Come up here, really good food. And like you say, it's not one of those – it's going to break the bank either, stands, like we like to say. But always good entertainment, and Granger does a great job keeping it rolling. So,
and then we need
to figure some way to tie in a Legion game or two to that festival.
Have a band out there before the game or after the game or something
and
like
have,
that?
Have some of these cooks send us some barbecue out there and come up here and buy your ticket up here and go in and just present your ticket at the gate.
That'd be cool.
Get you a barbecue sandwich and go over there and sit down and watch the game. Then after the game's over, we'd just come back up here and listen to the music. Mm-hmm. We need to talk to some of them city officials about that. When we talking to them about throwing some money out there for that softball field.
And we're not going to leave that alone.
No, we're not going to
leave that alone. Mayor, we're going to leave that alone, man.
Yeah, I mean,
I want my green jacket.
We know it's the county.
Yeah,
the county's got the land, but the county needs to get on board.
Well, I'll tell you what, the city, both of them's been so good to us. I mean, really have. You know, they don't question hardly anything. Okay, you got this. You know, they're okay.
Yeah. It helps community. I mean, it should be that way.
Yeah, it does.
But you see, you still running. I mean, the barbecue festival's like what 20-something years old. You 83 years old. you the old man in the crowd.
I can't.
You got seniority. You've got seniority, brother.
Well, isn't American Legion part of the Festival of Flowers? One or two of the games during that weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're part of that.
The month before. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got part of that, and then to get involved, I think having a band out there would be awesome.
It would be.
Yeah, I'll push for that.
We can help you with that one. So. Yeah. I'm just sitting here doing the math in my head. I mean, that's only how many years? 13 years? I mean, you're going to still be out here, man. And your son may be coaching that team. So 20's in good hands until we hit that century mark. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What I've been doing. Like, I've been thinking about it in my mind. I'm like, I need that far away. Yeah, unfortunately, 100 years. So, I mean, you think about stuff like that. You were talking about your son loves it, been a part of it since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. I can see him being a head coach or maybe taking your job if you want to retire.
Yeah.
And then you can still sit there with him and say you're not doing it right.
Well, he's got to go into service for him to take my job.
Well, you're right. You're right.
So. And you said he was a handful. Well, you put him down there on Paris Island, and that handful will get out of him right quick.
Yeah. Don't take. Yeah, you in for a shock.
That's why I didn't go into the military. I couldn't follow orders. I had a hard time with that.
They'll make you.
Yeah.
You learn right quick.
Yeah, I seen those guys down there running them cats at Paris Island. I'm going to tell you, I'd be like, I'd be in jail for one because I'd been smacked him. And then he'd laid me out, I'd be in the hospital. But like I said, I'm like you, Tom. I'm just not one for rules, let's say. So.
All right. Well, Ty, you can stay around and talk a little basketball with us?
I'll do a little bit.
We got a game concert, right, man. We got to discuss this.
I'll do a little bit.
All right. Well, let's talk about start with the women's bracket that is underway, the 2024 Women's NCAA Big Dance. We found out exactly where South Carolina was going to be. No big surprise. They're going to be the number one seed, and they'll get to host the first round in the process. And we'll talk about the Lady Gamecocks here in a second, but let's talk about Presbyterian here to begin with the ladies. Big win for them in order to come up and end up winning in their conference, and then they get the draw of Sacred Heart Pioneers to open up for the buy-in, or I should say the
play-in game
in the process of all this. And this should be a fun one for them. They're excited about it, Chris, overall. And when you look kind of how they got here, kind of a roller coaster during the regular season. They were seeded fifth heading into the Big South tournament with a 17-14 record, and then three starters and six men go down with unfortunate injuries throughout the season in the process. So they've had some injuries that are there, and Presbyterian's players and coaches came together as a family and basically overcame all that adversity to get where they are today. In that regard, and that's pulling folks together and saying, "Hey, we can do this. We've got this."
And that I noticed, and they were on one of the news shows, but two of the girls they interviewed with the injuries that were there, one of them could have been very significant. It was kind of an interior cruciate or whatever you call that down in the ankle area. And luckily, I guess she's doing like a angel Reese, and she's getting shots in the cortisone and stuff like that. But she had tears in her eyes. She said, "I ain't missing this." She said, "We may never do this again. I'm not missing this. So I'll wait. If I have to have surgery at the end of the year, we're going to do it." But I was just amazed by the coach when she had the speech she made last night on the news. The fact that to be there, and she's like, "Well, yeah, and you see what they did to us. We get to stay at home in state if we win that first game." And the thing they got to worry about is they're playing a team that's pretty much a perennial team. that team's generally around the ladies' bracket, but they're usually like a PC. They're going to be a 16 seed if they can play the buy-in game. So, like I said, they're going to go out and play that first game, win that first game, and then you know what? I will bet you they don't lose by 90 to South Carolina the second time.
Well, you got Brianna Brady is going to be the big factor.
That's
the
her.
Big girl in the middle.
That's the one I was talking about. Yeah. They had the ankle and thigh bruise at the same time. But she, I'm going to tell you, that's a lady there now. That's a grown woman. So, I mean, and especially if Cordoza is not playing stand up, we were discussing the first game, which we know she will not be playing. She's going to get Ashlyn Watkins. So. Yeah. Like I said, it'll be a fun game for both teams, and I just think that it's the fact that we got another team from the state in there like that.
It'll be a great game for the state of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
As small as we are to have two women's teams playing, making a dance, number one, and number two, be playing both games. We'll be playing in state. You know, Presbyterian's not having to go to Los Angeles or Spokane, Washington, or anywhere. They get to go an hour down the road and play in an arena that's probably bigger than any arena they could send them to anywhere else.
And they've already played there once. And
they played there once, so they should be comfortable in the arena.
Oh, they'll have fans. And you will see them because of the difference of the color scheme, but I don't think the Gamecocks aren't coming to those games, I can promise you. Yeah. We'll be out loud and proud. And like I said, the thing I'm interested in, like we've talked about earlier, is I'm interested in how the officials are going to call these games now that we've had what we've had happen in the women's game. I think they're going to be called a little bit more than the men's game. I think they're going to let the guys just go out and play, and I kind of agree with Angel Reese, which I do not like to do. Had she been a guy, they'd have let them probably just fight it out. I mean, but the hair pulling, you got to quit that. You should have quit that when you was in third grade. You should have lost a couple of teeth if you hadn't, and she should know better than do stuff like that. So. But it'll be an interesting game, and I think it'll be a fun game. And I think Dawn and we were at Touchdown Club. That's the night they played PC. Yeah. It may have been the banquet that we were at that they played them. And I mean, I had forgot the score till they announced it like yesterday that it was 99 to 29 or something like that.
And I think that's one of those games where Dawn just called the dogs off. I mean,
it could have been worse.
It could have been a whole lot worse. But that was not the only game that she's looked out there at the court and told her players, don't score. We scored enough. Don't score. So Dawn understands who she's playing, that she's playing another team from South Carolina, number one, just right up the road. And she wants those girls to have the opportunity to come in and play in the NCAA tournament. They'll get T-shirts. Heck, who knows? Presbyterian might buy them a ring for it. They got enough money,
Well, we'll see. Presbyterian's got to get by Secret Heart first.
And that's the key.
That's going to be the big thing.
I just don't want to look ahead to the Gamecocks after. I want to be ready.
Right. I think the whole state's pulling for them, though.
Colonial
Life, they might have 18,000 people in there pulling for them.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if South Carolina was actually there pulling for them.
That's what I'm saying. The Carolina Burgundy and Black may be in that stadium pulling for PC. It might be 10 feet. Sacred Heart may not have never played in front of the crowd that they're going to play in front of. It might be 10, 15,000 people there.
Oh, it will be for the tournament.
For that one game.
That was a question I was going to ask you really quick. You said something that I liked, and I liked the way that Coach Staley did it this year. I would probably say a quarter of the games this year she did that.
Yeah.
As far as, like, calling off the dogs.
Well, she ain't going to embarrass it.
But my question is now's not when you do that. Now's when you got to be ready to play, and you're playing the best teams then. So, I mean, there won't be a lax from this team, but what worries me is – we haven't had to really get out there and just go get it every game. I mean, Tennessee, I'm like you. Would that loss have been better? I'm like you. I would almost say maybe it would be.
The loss might have been good, but the way they won may have been better.
It could have been.
Because it showed them, look, number one, we took our foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Tennessee came from 23 down. They were up by two. That's you talk about coaching and learning. And when Raven Johnson even said it, when they went to the sideline and Coach Staley looked at them and said, "We okay?" Raven Johnson said, "Okay, we okay. No big deal. You know, let's go out. We're going to win this ball game.
If we're going to win the tournament, we can't take the foot off the gas against anybody. You got to keep going." And I like what you're saying there, yeah, because we do like to press. And that's how you beat a team like Iowa or whoever you get up to, Ohio State, some of the teams that you're going to play. Big Ten's going to be a big say in this tournament.
Well, and people have said it all year that even though the South Carolina team is young, I mean, they are young. They've got three seniors. Two of those can come back, and one of them's going to say she's coming back. So they're a real young team, but they don't get rattled. If they get down, they don't start forcing stuff and playing hero basketball. They continue to do what they do. And the standard that has been set is amazing. And these girls have bought into that standard.
All right, guys, taking a look at South Carolina, of course, they get the number one overall seed in the tournament. 32-0 is pretty impressive when you look at it. And we know that who they're going to get coming up on Friday will either be Presbyterian or Sacred Heart in that regard. But you look down this bracket that they're in, and Chris, you mentioned the Big Ten's going to have a big factor. Indiana, they may end up seeing Indiana in that third round next week.
They're a good team. I mean, like I said, Indiana's better than Iowa. I'll tell you that right now, even though women's or leading scorer of all time or whatever, Caitlin Clark. Indiana's a team that's beat them. Illinois is another team. And like I said, this is the first time I've actually rolled through it real quick. So I'm going to go throw it in my eyes. But the team that worries me out of the brackets is Notre Dame, because I watched the ACC tournament, girls and guys tournament. And I mean, that's a team that did not ever let off the gas. They end up playing a North Carolina State team that's really good. We're ranked 1, 2, 3 all year. And when they got to that championship game, it was like the SEC game yesterday. It was a 30-40-point game. And, I mean, they're a young team. They got three freshmen on that team, and they're young. And that's a team that I can see us playing that would worry me out of all these games. I mean, you got really good games. I mean, like I said, you go through it. Texas is pretty good. And like I said, you go across the way, and the first team you see on the other side is who?
Is Iowa, yeah. The other number one seed.
And I mean, that playing game they got, whoever they play, that's going to be a win also probably. But I look down to that next game, it's Princeton, West Virginia. Two very good games that we know West Virginia's played Iowa well last year. I was one of the teams, I'm going to tell you, I'm not really worried about them. But like I said, this tournament is going to be big. But with this, like I said, if we play like we're supposed to play tight, it's not let off the gas, I don't know that we will lose. Mm-hmm. But you got to always think there's that team out there that can pull that upset, like last year.
Well, you got the bullseye on your back.
You do?
Every single game.
And that's fun.
Yeah.
And they've had that bullseye on their back for the last 3 years.
Yeah. They have.
And I think that's what a lot of these – so-called pundits and experts are saying, you know, this team has caught it's like in baseball. You know, when the Division I school, when they got the little nobody coming in preseason, that nobody wants to beat that somebody.
It happens.
And they're gonna throw their best. They're going to give you their best shot. And it happens in football. It happens in their sport. Well, every one of these teams, and that's why Charlie Cream, when they asked him the other day, well, who's going to be your national champion? Is it going to be South Carolina? He says, I'm picking the field because I'm not going to have 67 teams mad at me.
Right.
I mean, he's saying, yeah, South Carolina's going to win, but I'm not saying it because I don't want these other teams mad at me.
Stan called me a pungent. Is it because of my odor or something? here's another one that we got to think about too. On this other side over here, you're gonna probably get two games right, or two that are gonna play each other. Two said Ohio State's gonna have to sooner or later play a Connecticut team probably to get on up to get to an Iowa team. Another team we play, Connecticut. So a lot of the teams on this thing we play.
Yeah,
and we have
seeds on this thing.
Right, we play, and we've had success. Ohio State is a team. That's another team that doesn't worry me. But
Southern Cal, didn't we play them this year? We play Southern Cal this year. Was that last
year? No, not Southern Cal, not okay. this year.
Okay.
And, of course, Cruella DeVille is going to have her team right there as a three.
Well, what's going to be interesting with that is they've got Louisville if they win this first game. They've got Louisville on Saturday, Sunday.
You look at they could have Louisville, and then after that, they're going to have to play UCLA.
Yeah.
Just to get to Iowa, if Iowa can get through, you know, who they've got to get through, like Chris said.
Colorado,
a lot of these, you start looking at these 8-9s, and they've got some teams in these 8-9s now that aren't going to just lay down. Oh, and don't forget about you're going to have to beat Kansas State again.
Yeah.
So that one, Albany 2, is a pretty I wouldn't want to be in that bracket.
That's why I think Corolla was so mad.
Because there's the toughest bracket.
And we're talking about Mulkey when I say Cruella to be. And they're starting to refer to her as that. Now they've got the little picture up there of her now. I'm telling you, I saw it a long time ago when I saw that lady at Baylor. So I'm telling you, they got the right name for that woman. So. But right. And also I want to see how they treat her as well in those games. Is she going to be able to get out there and spit on the floor and act a fool and push the girls to get closer, get in there and knock somebody down? They're going to be watching two teams. They're going to be watching South Carolina, and they're going to be watching Iowa. I mean,
well, the SEC championship, I think, is going to set a precedence with the officials of the NCAAs, and I think they're going to crack down a little
bit. The
girls'
game is going to be tough, I'm telling you.
Well, Dawn has already, by her own admission, said, I'm primed. My girls aren't going to get beat up like they got beat up last year in this tournament. So.
But she wants to do it the right way.
Yeah, she's going to do it the right way.
But yeah,
she's
no retaliation, just going out and play basketball.
And they like Clyde's girlfriend, Cruella, but
she's going to let the officials know that just because we're bigger don't mean you can throw elbows, smack me in the mouth, pull my hair, do anything you want to me. And then when I do the same thing back to you, I'm getting a foul call. No, that's not happening anymore.
It'll be watched, I promise you.
But you look at that Albany 1, and there's a possibility. I mean, you got Texas A&M and Mississippi State in there. You may end up having to beat one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've already beat them a couple of times during regular season, but you don't ever want to play anybody.
No.
I mean.
That's hard to do.
They played Tennessee 3 times in 24 days, and we saw what happened there. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I don't want that one.
No.
Let's let somebody else play Tennessee.
Well, you wouldn't see Tennessee until the finals.
Final four. Yeah.
I don't want to see. That's what I'm saying. Let somebody else take it out.
Tuesday, guys, I'm going to ask you who you pick for the Final Four and who wins it all in that one. So
Thursday.
Thursday. Well, I'll probably ask you tomorrow, too.
Okay, that's fine. Like I said, I hadn't done my women's yet. I have done my guys, and I had 3 different Final Four teams in it, and I was just playing around with it. I hadn't got serious yet. But and we will get it set up, Tom. I will try to do my best. I'm going to do it as a public domain site where you go to Lakeland Sports Guys, and you will be able to do your picks against us if you want to do that. We'll try to figure that out in a way to get we can stand in there.
Trying to have that up
and
by
we
tomorrow.
Yeah, we can even have Ty in there. We'll have a guest picker in Ty Vines to put his final boards for both ladies and men's in there.
Well, one thing I want somebody to clarify. Now, it's been a long time since I graduated. And
long time.
But, you know, my thing with this play-in meant you had to win a game to get into a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You look now. I was gonna bring it up with the men's because the men's even worse than the women's. But you look down here at these so-called play-in. Now, if I'm Auburn and I'm an 11 seed,
yeah,
why am I not in the tournament? I'm an 11 seed, not a 16.
You got 2 11 seeds,
yeah.
And supposedly
Arizona's
these aren't
the
supposed
way.
To be play-in games, but they are.
You look up here where they're supposed to be playing. And it's got a slash, you know. It's not you got 2 16s that are playing each other. Okay, that makes sense to me, the last team in.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
going to be a 16 seed. But if I'm an 11 seed, now or I got to go play an extra game
to get in the tournament
against another 11 seed that should already be in the tournament too. You know, push those – you putting them in. I mean, and then on the other side, Vanderbilt's a number 12 seed. I mean, you know.
You got a point. People,
the men's is even worse. The men's have got two brackets of 10 seeds.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are a 10 seed in a 16-team tournament, you in the top two-thirds of the bracket. I'm sorry. You should be playing. You shouldn't have to play an extra game. I just want somebody, NCAA, give me a call and explain this to me.
Well, Gabbert did it this year. He was the commissioner of the game, I mean, to pick these mm-hmm. these things out there. I really think, all in all, they did a fairly good job. There were some teams that left out. What surprised me is you were talking NIT. The ones that got left out aren't going to play NIT. They're going to boycott it.
Yeah, and we'll get to the NIT in here in just a little bit because they changed the format.
They did.
I think that's why a lot of teams ended up not going ahead and wanting to participate in it.
They're
going to
use that excuse, by the way.
They are.
They're just mad they missed the tournament.
But I still want to know how an 11 seed has to play in a game.
In order to get
to
into the
get
tournament.
Get in a tournament that you were picked as an 11 seed.
When look, you're tournament, it's not an issue.
Yeah, I mean,
what team,
the other
tournament's not
the
a
other 16s.
What team are you talking about that's got to play it?
Well, you got on the women's side. And the Portland Four, you got Auburn, who's the number 11, right. And Arizona, who's number 11. And then on the Portland Three, you got Vanderbilt, that's a 12, and Columbia, that's a 12.
I got you.
Now, right above them, you got the two 16s, you know, Sacred Heart and Presbyterian, that's a play-in game.
Right, that's fine.
To get into the tournament.
Well, the problem is, what that actually is a first-round bye for the number one seed overall. Yeah, that's how you got to look at it. I mean,
No, because you got to look at it. The number one South Carolina is going to play a team that's already played one game.
That's right. But what I'm saying is it's a bye for the Gamecocks.
That was a 16.
Right.
Who does the 11s have to play? Let's say go to Portland Four. They're going to end up playing a 6 seed. A 6 seed.
Right.
And you've already played one game as an 11 seed.
I got you.
And gets worse when you get to the meeting.
We'll have to get him in charge of the commissioner for
that. No, somebody just needs to call me and give me their definition of play-in.
Nobody – well, it's not – supposedly it's not supposed to be a play-in game. This is actual tournament games that are being played is the way that has been brought to my attention.
Well, why you got four 16s playing?
Is that the first or last four?
That's how they do it.
First four, last four.
That's how they figure it.
Yeah, but how can the last four in be an 11 seed? You got four 11s.
You can't have four 16 seeds. I mean.
Yeah, you're going to have four 16 seeds. The last four should be a 17 seed that's playing for a 16 to get into the tournament.
That's why we don't have it.
No, you understand what I'm saying.
I would totally understand.
Yeah, I mean, I got you with that.
I mean, I'm an 11 seed. I shouldn't have to worry about playing a game.
But you're one of you're the two worst 11 seeds in the tournament.
Well, let's play the two. If you're going to do that, why don't we just put the four number one seeds out there and say, okay, you playing this one and you playing that one. There ain't no difference.
They'll probably do that. They would probably be willing to do
that. It's all about the dollars. It's all about the money.
I mean,
getting some extra cash in the process of all this. The thing is now, I don't know, are they still going to – is this still going to be over in, like, Toledo or somewhere, these play-in games, or are they actually going to be –
I'm thinking the play-in games are going to be like in Columbia.
I don't think.
For the guys, they've always been over in Ohio somewhere.
Probably will. I mean, because they love to travel with the men's side.
All right. Well, let's talk about the men's side. 24 NCAA bracket is out, and the number ones, UConn, Houston. You also have North Carolina, which everybody was shocked that was going to end up happening. And, of course, Purdue, even though they lost their conference tournament, still ended up with the number one. But UConn and Houston, out of the four, only one won their conference tournament.
And Auburn wins the SEC tournament and gets a 4 seed. A 4 seed.
Got to win. That's what the regular season is all about.
And that's true.
Well,
why even play
the tournaments then?
That's true.
Why do teams like Texas A&M and some –
If they hadn't won their tournament, though, they probably would have been a 5 or 6 seed, in my opinion.
Maybe. Duke dropped to a 4.
Yeah, they were supposed to be a two.
They better be ready.
They're supposed to be a two. Yeah, I mean,
Duke better be ready. I'm just going to say that.
Where did NC State end up?
Well, yeah, NC State was not even going to make the tournament.
Right. They had to win, what, five in a row?
Five in a row they went. And how they did not have tired legs in that championship game against North Carolina is beyond me.
Adrenaline.
Pure. I mean.
All right. And they 11. Get. All right. They're an 11 seed.
Hey. And regular season's getting something.
And they get to play a 6 seed, Texas Tech. Yeah. But then you look down here, Virginia is a 10 seed. Who's actually finished ACC better than NC State, but they got to go play Colorado State, another 10 seed, just to get into the tournament.
He's still stuck on it.
We're playing right now. It's not
making sense to me.
It's just, look, we all just the way they've done the games. I mean, some of the big tournaments didn't make sense to me because you're supposed to go by the guidelines of your wins, losses in conference, and there were some of those that just got flipped, and they were like, wait a minute. Why are we playing them? Mm-hmm. We should play them next game. Kind of like setback in softball, baseball that you had to play. But it's going to be an interesting tournament. I mean, and you go through, and the way we used to do ours, which I always loved it because you couldn't pick the ones. Like when we did the pools in Augusta all the time at Wild Wings, you benefited from the 2 seed beating the 15 seed or whatever. And you would take more chances to get more points. And I wasn't more down there doing that, you know, not to brag, but because I would never take a 1 seed. I would take a 16 over it if it happened to happen. But then I only lost that one point, that one game. If you won the 1 seed, you only got 1 point. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you got an 8-9 and you pick a – whichever one you decide to pick on that and you pick a 2 seed, which I did the 1 year because Carolina played who? And ended up being a 2 seed and beating us. They beat the game. Murray State?
No, Coppin State.
Coppin State,
state.
That's who it was.
Next, they did it back to back. They lost to Richmond the following year. They may have been a three.
And see, that was a three, and that was. But like I said, I just like the way that format goes. I mean, I've looked at some of these guys on here that have picked these things, and all you do if you like you were talking about, today, go to ESPN or go to CBS Sports, Fox Sports, and go to predictable brackets, and you'll see Lenardi's. And I'm not saying do that. Because I Lenardi let me down this year because I based a lot of what I was watching during the weekend on, like, what his saying was, where people were going to be, and they were just – he missed it a little bit this year. I mean, you can't hit it every year. I agree with that. But some of these, he was like shaking his head, too, like you.
Yeah.
Why is Virginia down here?
Yeah.
They played so well.
Yeah. But you know, we go to looking at Clemson. And just last week we were talking – after the way Clemson played Wake Forest and then going into the ACC tournament, getting beat in the first game, we were thinking they were going to go to a 7-8, maybe even a 9. They stayed at 6. And so now they get to play a number 11, New Mexico.
I like Clemson reaching the Sweet 16.
Ooh. Really.
Yeah, well, Vegas doesn't agree with you. They got New Mexico State 2.5-point favorites. And, by the way, they have won, Vegas has, and that 6-11, 11 has won, 14 out of the last 16 years?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
I mean,
because it's generally that team that's on a roll. Like I said, I watched that tournament with New Mexico and those teams in it, but they never once, like, staggered. They went in there, and Patino Jr., he went in there with that team of his, and his sons right behind him. They both are like Bobby Knight out there at times, won't throw chairs and towels. But really, I mean, this is a really good basketball team, unfortunately, for Clemson. And that was my first pick on the men's bracket. I took New Mexico to win it. I still love Brownell. I know you want to get rid of him, but
well, I don't mind him. It's others that
but
are there.
You,
I
but
like
you
what
got
he's
to
done.
Pick. Like I said, I wouldn't be stunned. I wouldn't be stunned if Clemson wins, but.
I've been pulling against them all my life. I know the luck that they have up there.
But for Clemson to win, this goes back to what we were saying last week. P.J. Hall is going to have to get more than one or two rebounds a game.
Now, I got your answer for you for that.
He can score the 20 points, but he's still got to get more than one rebound for them to advance.
Brownell explained it in the ACC tournament. He said, PBJ Hall is not on this team to rebound. He's a role player, and he plays his role, and his role is not rebounds.
That's what Sheffley's role is for.
That's what it's for. So, I mean, I'm with you on the argument. I mean, Carolina's got the same problem. We got the same problem as far as rebounds go. We do a little bit better job than they do, but I like what Brownell said. He defended this player. He said, look, I'd rather him get 20 points, 25 points, and it's Shefflin's job to get in there and get the rebounds. Shefflin's not supposed to have double-digit rebound points. He should know his role, like Gerard said last night. He said, I left Syracuse because Syracuse didn't have as good a chance as Clemson did to make it. My role was to shoot threes, which he really didn't do that great this year for Clemson. But that was the one thing I was going to tell you. He did announce it after they lost that game in the tournament. And I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying because I think, I like you, if you're on the defensive end, you're really, your only job to me would be
to rebound the ball.
Yeah, but I guess they're saying, they calling him like a point guard type deal, a small forward, which they keep him at the top for defense, but I don't know.
Well, they draw the big guys out is
that's the key.
The key to it. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got a 6'10 guy, you're going to draw another 6'10 guy out there.
Well, on offense, okay, I can say, all right, I can agree with Brownell. Okay, you want him outside. That's where he can shoot some shots, bring the big guy out, let do it. But when you go back to the defensive end and you're playing defense and you got a 6'10 guy, I don't care if he's playing small forward, playing center, or where. His job is going to be to play defense, and part of defense is rebound the ball. Well, and if you don't get but one rebound and it was an offensive rebound,
here's the thing, though, with P.J. Hall and what Clemson does with him on defense is they front the guy. They don't. He doesn't play behind him like I was taught, where you stay between the man and the basket. He fronts the guy that he is guarding so that the ball can't come into him. And that could be a contributing factor as to why they don't have the rebounds that he's there.
When somebody puts up a shot, he can still roll around and get in position.
Yeah, but if you're a good defensive guy, you're going to roll with him in the process. So.
And he called him a really good defensive guy. So.
Yeah. They've been facing.
Yeah, I still think if you go back and you look at the games they won, he's going to probably be up there in the 8 to 12 rebounds and the 20 points. And that's what they're going to have out of him going forward.
Well, here's
because
what Brad,
the teams he's going to play are going to rebound. They're going out. That's how he got beat in those last two games. He got out-rebounded. And that wasn't just Hall. I mean, that was
the team.
Shefflin, we looked at
Hunter
his numbers.
Hunter didn't do anything.
Godfrey didn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean.
There was no bench at all.
Right. I mean, so when you don't get that one guy getting up, snatching every rebound, you're going to be in trouble.
But you do take what Ty said here, and I kind of look at it because I haven't been big on the Big 10 or Big 12 whatsoever. You know, everybody says that the Big 12, you know, had just as many teams as the SEC did in this. Baylor would be the next opponent if Clemson could get by New Mexico State. And then you're looking at maybe Arizona as being the next one that comes in to get you into the Sweet 16.
And that's a team I think you can beat.
And that's
Tommy Moody's Arizona team. That's a weak 2 seed for me, but like I said, I'm not saying you can't win the game. My next question for you is, if you lose this game, what does that do for Brownell and the Clemson crowd? Does that seed get really, really hot now?
So, in other words, this is a must-win game for Brownell.
Especially with who you're playing, because I sent you the text. I mean, if I'm looking to replace him, I want a younger guy. I'm going to go 10 years younger, but I'm going to Patino Jr. Mm-hmm. Because I want you – here's one thing I want y'all to look at, and I've got it right here. I want you to look at the roster for New Mexico. You can tell he's a Patino coaching that team, even though he's a junior Patino. He's got 4 NBA players, kids playing, starting with Mashburn Jr., Jamal Mashburn Jr., Eddie House's kids playing. I mean, it's a who's who. And those dads and those coaches that used to coach these kids, or their dads, they're there. They're in his ear. And that guy, you want to talk about recruiting? You get a guy like Rick Pitino Jr. The sky's the limit for you. Then you're getting these guys at Duke and North Carolina. Yeah. And maybe that's what Clemson wants, is the recruiting aspect to get the 5-star they're not getting with Brownell. It's just hard. I mean, I tell you, ACC with Brownell, I mean, North Carolina and Duke are going to get there. They got kids calling them. Mm-hmm. I'm coming to you.
Thing is, Clemson has been able to beat some of the big guys. Well, We've seen them beat the big guns this year. And so what Brownell is doing is working. For the most part, if you're not used to seeing it. Now, granted, they lost in the ACC tournament because those teams have seen them, twice each. This would be the third time that they've seen them.
The only negative, and I defend Brad all the time, you'd think I'm a Tiger like I tell everybody, and they're like, yeah, you sound like one. But the only thing disappointing this year for me is this is a senior-laden team. Mm-hmm. And the games that they've lost to Tex and some of those other games, I can see where they're right. And, you know, Wake Forest and Georgia Tech are the two youngest team in NT. Mm-hmm. They're two youngest, and Boston College is right behind them. So that's three teams that you're going to play every year at Clemson, the young guys. I'm not sure what this team has as far as, like, the future that we're going to see, because we've seen mainly seniors on this team this year. We might have seen a junior. And that's where you go to roster and see who you got coming in for that. But I'm telling you, this could be the game that a guy like B-Rad is going to be happy about. If you lose it, Graham Neff may say, you know what, wait a minute. I got a chance to get this guy. But like I told you this weekend when we were in Augusta, the Georgia contingent down there, they like their young coach. But to get a Brownell, they would hire him in a heartbeat because of what he's done for the years he's been at Clemson. Different leagues, of course. Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of people are saying it's been a flip, ACC to SEC basketball, because ACC has been pretty good. But that's what I'm looking for more in the game than actually the score. And can Clemson score in New Mexico? That's the problem. That's a team that puts 85 points on the board, and they play good defense. So, yeah, that's probably one of the more interesting games that we're going to talk about.
All right. Brad Brunell had his press conference after the selection committee on Sunday. Here's what he had to say.
Great day for Clemson basketball. Just really, really happy for my players and proud of them. Reward for a lot of hard work starting last off season. Certainly last year at this time was heartbreaking. And it's ironic. One of the first texts I get is from Hunter Tyson, who's, you know, super excited for his teammates. And you know, I told him my heart still hurts for him, that last year's team was left out. But I'm grateful for this year's team and the way they played this year. Just some outstanding performances. And thankfully Virginia got in the tournament, you know, or it was going to be four ACC teams. And even to be one of five it just is really hard. It shows you how hard it is to make this tournament. To think that that's not an accomplishment is you know, a problem. Because this is really hard. There's a lot of people that have really good basketball teams now. A lot of really good coaching, and it's a very challenging long season. So when your guys are able to do what our guys were able to do this year, and to play as well as they did, and be rewarded with a sixth seed, and you know, certainly to be looked at by the committee as one of the top 24 teams in the country, we're proud of that performance, and looking forward to playing a very good New Mexico team. Richard Pitino, I've coached against him when he was at Minnesota. He's outstanding coach. I don't know a lot about him. I really haven't seen him much this year. Obviously, you know, it seems like this is a year where every time it seems we play somebody, they're on a 3-4 game win streak, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it's been this year. And obviously they just won the Mountain West tournament, so they're playing with great confidence. They've got terrific guards, older players. No surprise that they were able to do something like that. They can really score. Richard's always been a really good coach and a very good offensive coach. They usually, you know, a lot of good pick and roll offense. I'm sure there's going to be some zoom action we're going to have to deal with. And I know his guards are quick, athletic, and can really score. It should be a great game. Funny that we're going back to Memphis. Place where we had an outstanding game against the University of Memphis. But again, I'm just really happy for our players, the guys that have worked so hard, and especially the older guys that last year this time was gut-wrenching and heartbreaking, and for them to rally and to have a really good season for a lot of them in their last year. This is a nice reward for them. So, you know, looking forward.
So there you have Brad Brunell, a little bit about his press conference, what's coming in. Of course, he's talking about making the NIT last year and not making the NCAAs to go along with it, feeling that they were well-deserved. I think that was a big letdown as part of the reason they ended up losing in the NIT. But this time around, you heard what he had to say coming up against New Mexico, part of the reason why Las Vegas favors them so much.
I've watched, you know, that was of all the tournaments that I watched, SEC, ACC, I thought Mountain West was probably the best. That's why they got as many teams as they got in. I mean, SEC, of course, had 8. I think Big 12 had 8 also. Yeah. And then what surprised me a little bit is ACC with as fewer teams, and then the what we'll call the OPAC 12, they only got 3 teams or 4 teams, and the Big East had only 3. So It shows you the kind of the parity that we have in the college game now with the smaller conferences doing really big things. So, but there again, I mean, you're playing a team, Tom, in New Mexico that had to win all their games. You know, like Conference USA, where the top seeds are Atlantic 10, where all four top seeds lost quick. Same thing happened in Mountain West almost. And they had to play their way to get to these seeds. Oregon's going to be a tired team because they had to come back and win. They had to beat Colorado to make the tournament. And they did. So you're going to be playing Clemson, Carolina, both are going to be playing teams that have had to play a lot of games to get in.
All right. So Clemson, the 6th seed, and New Mexico, the 11th seed.
So your rested legs we'll may see. Be good. That may be a key.
May be a help.
It may be a, but as Coach Brownell was saying, New Mexico's a little bit on the older side, too. And just like we were talking about with Clemson being an older, more mature team, that they should be able to handle this. New Mexico's the same way.
Yeah.
So it may come down to like what we were saying. New Mexico's had to play a good many more games. Now, they don't play till Friday. So you probably, Thursday be a practice day. You probably go into Memphis on Wednesday. And if New Mexico, you only go in one time zone, New Mexico's coming the opposite way at least two time zones. So New Mexico may have a little making up to do. Don't know if they have, has New Mexico played a game east of the Mississippi this year?
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah, they have.
I hadn't looked at their schedule's
pretty good too,
year,
yeah.
As far as who they played.
They played UConn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And apparently a good game against UConn on the road. So, I mean, it's a team that's
Dangerous team.
Yeah, and I shouldn't say that they have their dads are the NBA players because that kind of sounds like we're talking about a gene pool here. But I'm just saying it's kind of exciting that those guys are coming to Richard Pitino and saying, I want my sons to play for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a Graham Neff may be looking at to make a final decision about Brownell. I just think you need to play well in this game. I'm not going to say you have to win it, but you need to win it. I think he does, or else that seat's hot starting next year, if there is a next year.
All right, so we'll follow along with that. As far as where Clemson is over there in that West, probably the easiest of all the brackets. I mean, you got North Carolina as the number one seed, Arizona the number two seed, your number three seed is Baylor. I mean, four seed is Alabama, a team you've already beaten. I mean, it looks favorable if Clemson can get by New Mexico.
It is, and like I said, out of those teams, I would almost, like Stan was talking about SEC play, I would almost say Alabama's as good as the top four that they got up there. You know, the one that I really – North Carolina's the one that just blows my mind, and I mean, I don't know why. I guess winning the ACC helped it, but the way that they end up losing in that one, I just don't know of the other team you would have given the one seed to. I mean, it came down to what it was, and I mean, I'm not really happy with our seed out the other way, but I think you're right. I think that is your best chance to win it if you are the Tigers. If you get by New Mexico – look out, you might can run a couple games. So,
all right, well, let's talk about the Gamecocks. They are a 6th seed also, and they get the 11th seed in Oregon and the Ducks. You're going to have a hard time choosing a team here to root for.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Thursday, if you want to see something funny Thursday, come up here because I'll be wearing Oregon and Carolina at the same time. I'm going to put an Oregon shirt up backwards. I'm going to put a Carolina one on frontwards. I got the hats backwards. I got the visors forward. I mean, I got enough both gear for both teams. It is going to be a tough game because, I mean, I like both teams. I like both coaches. I met them all year long. I've been really strong with Coach Paris. I like him. Dana Altman was at the point of being fired, actually, this year. Had they not won the tournament,
right,
they were going to fire him. So he's got a way to come back and get on his high horse and say, you know what, we're going to come into a game. And the scary thing for me in this game for the Gamecocks is we don't have a lot of bigs. You know, we got Josh Gray, who's a pretty good size, but they have two centers. 7 foot and 6'11 and a half. So basically, you got 2 7-foot centers down there that play with each other at all times. One, the 6'11 guy plays power forward, the center plays his center spot, and they can step out and hit a three. That's what's scary. That kid, I had him somewhere. I tell you, his name is Dante. In Fali Dante or whatever his name is, he's solid. I mean, that kid you better watch out for. He's 6'11, he's 7 foot, 247. He's a man among men, and that's the one thing in the tournament we saw, Stan, and we talked about. We kind of got banged around.
Particularly with Auburn.
In the tournament. And, I mean, That's a team that, well, Auburn, that's their style. That's Bruce Pearl's style of play anyway. We got to get a little more physical. That was what Stan I was talking about, even watching the Arkansas game that we won fairly easy. I mean, but you got to remember, the thing I remember that I liked about Cousinard was his size. He's 6'4" and plays guard. A former Gamecock is going to be playing against us. He's playing for the other team. And that, you know, let's see, he's only averaging 17 a game. So, I mean, that's pretty solid. And he's got 5 rebounds a game. And then, like I said, it didn't get any easier. You know, Nelly Battle, like I said, 7 foot. He's only 215, so he might get banged around by Cooper. Mm-hmm. This game's going to depend on two things. We come out hot shooting the three, or we come out missing the three, and we realize we got to work it inside. We got to try to get higher percentage shots in the three. What we hope is going to happen is Meech is going to come out the first three shoots he's going to make, boom, like he did against Arkansas.
Yeah.
That's what we got to have happen. If not, I mean, I can go back to the Auburn game, which is right here. Poor percentage shooting. 1 for 10, Meechie Johnson. CMB 1 for 9 against Auburn. You're not going to win games. CMB's got to have the same game plan he had against Arkansas. Take the ball. And I believe now CMB, to be his size, he don't mind going between the bigs because he knows he'll probably get fouled. You're going to get blocks. They're going to get blocks in the game. You just got to, they get the players have got to be prepared. They can't get frustrated. Work the ball around. And that's the key thing. Don't take that first shot when you pass that ball around. Work that ball around on both sides of the court. Bring it back if you have to. It's a game we're going to need to run play clock in this too because they like to run the ball. Even with two 7-foot bigs, basically, they still like to run that ball in like an old motion offense, as we used to call it. But it's a game that's winnable. I think we are the better team. I just think, like I said, their legs are going to be tired because they had to do what – they had to win the tournament to make it. And so, like I said, but these big guys, they shoot free throw really well. They're almost like the other 7-footer for Purdue, so and Zach Eady. But it should be a great game, and we'll call it out. Like I said, I've taken Oregon in one of mine. I'm taking Carolina in the other one. I got to decide on my one poll that I'm only playing one. So I got to figure out who I'm taking in that game. I'm sure it's probably going to coming down to Carolina. We've had a great year. And we deserve to be where we're at. I thought we should have been one seat higher. But it didn't work out that way. And so should be fun. And like I said, that's a Friday game.
Yeah.
That'll be a Friday game.
No, Thursday game.
Thursday game.
It's in
4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going to be on when we're leaving.
Like 4 o'clock, yeah.
We'll probably still be on talking about it.
Probably. But here's Lamont Paris, what he had to say into the media on Sunday night after the selection committee.
Excited, really excited. It was fun just to watch the guys, you know your name's going to get called up there, but still just when the moment happens to see their – immediate reaction to that and all the work that they've put in and to be rewarded with having their name called was awesome. So just really excited for our fan base, for our students, for the city, the state. It was just an exciting moment.
It wasn't that long ago when you were in this tournament with Chattanooga. What's the secret to making things, you know, uncomfortable for the other team?
Yeah, well, we played in Pittsburgh also, so we gotta even the score out. So I'm 0-1 as a head coach in Pittsburgh in the NCAA tournament, so we gotta even the score out. But, I think just going about business as usual, you're going to be excited, but trying to just – as quickly as you can, get down to business and normalize what's happening out there, and it'll be crazy for the first couple minutes when guys get in the game, and then the sooner they can get into it, the better. But we'll go. I'm headed over to the office here now. We'll start to gather some information on Oregon and start watching film and putting a game plan together. We'll get together with the guys tomorrow and have a practice, and then get ready to get to it.
All right, so there you have Brad Brunell, his opening comments that he had with the media on Sunday after the selection committee to go along with it. A lot more confidence with Lamont Paris than you heard with Brad Brunell.
I mean, you know, it's warranted, it's granted. We did what we needed to stay a little bit higher up. But like I said, for Clemson to come back and do like they did, I mean, to even get this basically the same seed, different region, of course, but I think that's a testament to both teams. I just love the fact that he's chasing a game he lost at Pittsburgh. I love that. He wants to go 1-1 at Pittsburgh.
Well, and two, his team is built around defense, rebound, and, I look for Colin Murray to get his points. B.J. Mack, he takes a few more threes than I'd like for him to take, but he will back a big man in. And he's a big-bodied guy, so he might be able to get some inside play. But, you know, with Carolina, with Clemson, we've got – that's two in. But we can't forget about that team down there on the coast, the College of Charleston.
Cougars.
A state as small as South Carolina is.
Cougars.
And we've got three teams in the Division I tournament. And here's the Cougs going in. Now, they're going to have to play Alabama, but –
they get a late game, too. It's like, what, 7:30 or
something? Something like that. And, but this Charleston team, I think, is one. They play good defense, so they should be able to slow that. Alabama just wants to get up and down the court. I mean, you know, I don't know. They throw the ball in, and I think within 3 seconds they want to put up a shot. But I think that Charleston can slow them down, and Charleston can shoot. A lot like New Mexico State. They've got a couple of guards out there that put the ball in.
Charleston's going to be the quicker team.
Yeah, and that now, size-wise, I don't think they're going to be able to, kind of like Chris said, Carolina with Portland. They may be a little bit undermanned, but with the style of offense that they play, just like with Carolina, with the style of offense, it lends itself to what they play. I mean, the coach knows what he's got. He's devised an offense and a defense around what he's got. And it's not going to surprise me if Charleston don't beat Alabama.
That's what I was going to tell you right here, just posted. The first team out in the tournament is Alabama.
Yeah.
They're already saying Charleston won't win that game. Yeah. But like I said, that should be one of the more fun games to watch, too. I mean, it really should be. We didn't even discuss it. I think – Stan, are you excited the fact that we went ahead and took care of the contract for Paris now instead of waiting?
Yeah.
I think that was key because, you know, had something happen in the tournament, we lose out, and the beggars are coming calling. I think that's something that you may see at Clemson, too, because I really think the more people would like to have Brad as a coach and want to see him call from Clemson, I think you got more people out there wishing they had a Brad Brownell than don't. So. And there are going to be some firings after this tournament.
Yeah.
You can count on it.
Yeah, and I still think that the NCAA's got to do something about the portal opening up the same weekend you got your tournament.
Yeah.
And I equate it back to the football. I know football's got a lot more players, and their championship, so to speak, don't have as many teams. But you've got quality bowl games that we had multitude of players just saying, I'm not playing. And, you know, we talked about a little bit before we went on the air about what would happen to this bracket right here if just one team walked in there and the coach walked in his office one day and says, and he's got five players down there saying, well, coach, I'm going to get ready for the NBA. And then two or three more say, well, I'm going to the portal, coach. See you later. We're not playing. And that coach has to make the call to the NCAA and say, I don't have enough players to play, or I'm going to show up with four players. What's the NCAA going to do? There ain't nothing they can do about it. There's nothing the school can do about it. The athletes at this time have the power. And they might walk in there, you know.
Got a solution for that.
We talking about Auburn. What if those guys from Auburn walk into Bruce Pearl and say, coach, it's going to cost you $6 million for each one of us to get on that plane to go play this first game. You got it? I want the check right now.
Well, if that happens, the NCAA gets, you know, the call that says, hey, we can't play. That's when you go to these nine, you know, these play-in games. You find a Howard or a Virginia or a Colorado and say, hey, you're in.
Indiana State, we made a mistake. Y'all come on.
Come on. We're going to put you in that spot.
Call Auburn and find out what hotel they were at because the rooms are available now.
This is what surprised me. We've been to the men's bracket well enough that we know it.
Yeah.
Best first-round game.
Oh,
Lord.
I'll give you a hint. It's SEC Big Ten.
There's a couple good games that
Texas A&M, Michigan State.
It's 8-9. I'll give you another hint. It's Michigan State and Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. I had to take
it. And I kind of thought, you know, like, Izzo's not happy with the 9. I can promise you that. Mm-hmm. And all I can say to Coach Izzo is you better be glad you're there because you could have been out.
Somewhere else.
But, and yeah, like you say, Mississippi State's played so well this year defensively. They're not a really big offensive team, and neither is Michigan State. So I think you're looking at probably a really big defensive battle, but I keep looking at what's popping, and that's what the big thing is, best first round, first out, and all the other stuff of the tournament. So between now and Thursday, you're going to have so much stuff. Just have your stuff ready. Make sure you get your brackets in before Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, as far as mine goes, I'm looking right now at possibly being Boise State and Florida being the game, because Florida, the big man went down in the SEC tournament.
But they still got three more. They still got three more.
Still got three more.
That was nasty,
but,
dude.
But you know, Boise State could be a headache for them.
I'm looking at that Texas A&M-Nebraska game, too, because Texas A&M has been coming on strong of late. They've kind of got things figured out. Kind of like what you were talking about with Mississippi State. They got enough to beat Nebraska, but this is at 8-9 again.
Well, and like I said, Nebraska to me should have won again. Should have won, been higher up in that Big East. I mean, that tournament, because that's Fred Hoiberg's new team. And like I said, he's won everywhere he's been. So I think that game, I think I did take Nebraska because of the injury, which I said that's tough for that kid. You break your leg, man, playing basketball. That's not good.
That's not good.
So.
All right, so it should be fun. All that starts, Tuesday with the play-in games?
Stan's the play-in game guy, and I'm gonna try to keep our brackets going. So
yeah, so we'll get that up hopefully by tomorrow.
I'll try to get that. I just got to figure it out. Because like I said, it won't give me the invite sheet, but I'm gonna go public. Maybe everybody can get it all over the country.
Yep. Want to say a big thank you to all of you also that listen and tune in and download. We hit 10,000 downloads total. So we are over the 10,000 download mark as of this weekend on Saturday.
Yeah, I saw what you sent, man. That's awesome. And, I mean, you're hard work, man. You're getting it done. We're doing this as a team, but it's awesome. And we're going to keep it rolling. I mean, you're talking about, what, 4 years?
4 years.
So let's roll it. We're going to keep going.
Don't forget, Oakland University is coming out of Detroit, not Oakland, California.
Oh, yeah, and they're a tough team, too, by the way.
They've been a quality Kentucky, better watch out.
Yeah, they've.
All right, and we'll get to the NIT coming up on Thursday. We'll have all that for you as well, because we're
hopefully going to see some teams, actually, because there are going to be some teams that are going to bow out of that tournament.
I mean, there's some good teams that are still in here. Yeah. I mean, you still got some really good teams.
But you got a couple from the big conferences that already said we're not playing.
Yeah.
We're mad you didn't select us, and the heck would you eat NIT?
So. Well, I was just going to say this about the NIT. They went ahead, and usually they take the best next that are there. They didn't do that this time. They kind of mixed it up with the group of five and tried to experiment and get a few more of the group of five as well as division, you know, the power five involved together. So it's a little bit of a different mix. I think that's why you saw the five or six teams say, we don't want to be part of that.
And it's like, you know, one more thing. We talk about that. I've also seen when they're thinking about next year, the committee is going to – they're going to take more – of the regular season more than they do to play the tournament. You got a team that's sitting out there 33-2 in Princeton, didn't make it because they lost to Yale. They're going to be in the NIT, and they're going to be a team you better watch out for NIT. So,
all right, should be fun. Stan, thanks so much. Chris, appreciate your help. We're in Howard's on Main. Come by and see the good folks. I'm Tom Caron. We are the Lakeland Sports Guys.